Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I'm Darren Moser, and joined with me in my trio, musical trio, I have Philip Gilfus and Daniel Prue. Gentlemen, what instruments have you chosen for tonight's performance? Philip?
Well, in honor of the three of us, I am playing the triangle.
A very difficult instrument, the triangle.
That's cute. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't till the Klingons fully embraced it that it really came into its own. But, you know, they sharpened the edges and it actually became very, very deadly. Yes. Daniel, what did you pick?
Well, I'm not that musically inclined. So I actually picked, I'm just eating this kielbasa over here, honestly. But
kielbasa with a C. It is a musical instrument. I promise. I'm not making this up.
Well, it made me hungry, so I went and got myself a snack.
Well, I don't need a musical instrument. As people who have heard me podcast for many years know, I love breaking into song randomly and making up songs. So I will be the singing portion of our trio. But the concert's actually in 5 weeks, so you won't hear anything right now. So.
I imagine we would sound quite good with you just singing, Philip clanging against the triangle, and me just eating a piece of meat over here. So yeah, it'll sound great, I think.
So basically Klingon opera. Basically Klingon opera in a nutshell right there.
Exactly.
Well, so if we play this podcast inside the Defiant really loud.
You know, I think if you play this podcast backwards and watch The Wizard of Oz with it, something interesting will happen. I don't know what, but something interesting will happen.
No, the producers of Discovery, as they're trying to figure out what to do, they have it cranked like up and it's just reverberating in their apartment in their office as they're looking out wistfully, you know, through the window until, you know, the Riker comes in and asks incorrectly.
And sneak goes behind him.
Yeah. But yeah, so like we teased last week on City Alpha 3, today we're going to be talking about music in Star Trek. Both, you know, the music we actually hear by composers, actual real people who live in the 21st century, and also musical instruments that are played by our favorite characters. I mean, it isn't really Riker's ready room until his trombone is sitting there. I mean, that says it all right there. But first off, I thought we'd start with the films, because, I mean, while there are composers and such for the TV series, it's really the films where you think score, you think sound, and, you know, we're just going to go in crazy order, and we're going to start with Michael Giacchino, most recent composer, because he did all three of the JJ vs. Kelvin timeline movies for 2009, you know, Into Darkness and Beyond. And, you know, I mean, I personally, I really enjoy his score. It's a high bar. You're trying to reinvent a sound that still, you know, feels like Star Trek, but it's still new. I mean, it's a tall order. But I feel the eerie single notes that we get out of the beginning of that Star Trek 2009 theme and the crescendos he builds and the way he, you know, rounds it all out through Star Trek Beyond. You know, I mean, he didn't compose Sabotage, but I mean, he did put it in there. So
we don't know that actually. Maybe he did. I don't know.
So is there going to be?
I believe the Beastie Boys call it Sabotage.
Now I want a scene where was it?
Valeris,
yeah. Where Valeris says, you know, she kind of cocks her head and raises her eyebrow and says, well, in the late 20th century, the Beastie Boys composed their song Sabotage, named after, you know, it was loud and was lots of shouting. But
now, in honor of him, are we calling this section Podcast Squiggly Waves?
We can exactly call this podcast squiggle, 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 squiggly waves. But No, but I mean, what do you two think of the most recent Star Trek scores that we've heard from Michael?
I don't know if I've actually listened to Beyond specifically as a score. Of course, 2009 and Beyond, or excuse me, 2009 and Into Darkness, I've listened to often. And I think, because I think there are two really good songs, other than like the Enterprising Young Men and the theme songs. I think he has the ability to really do sad songs very well.
Yeah. Yeah, like when the Vulcan riff, you get that kind of almost Eastern, you know, different. You can tell like he's using different instruments and doing different sounds, and it feels otherworldly. So he definitely does a really good job of that.
The music at the beginning when Kirk is born and his father dies, and then I think in...
You mean Thor?
Yes. Except, he has shorter hair, which I guess now is canon.
Oh, there you go.
And then Into Darkness, where you have the Kirk death scene. I guess he does both Kirk's dying very well. But that's also good music there.
Yes. I haven't heard anybody... There are plenty of people who are just, you know, haters. They're just Kelvin haters. For whatever reason, you know? I don't know. But I've never heard a bad thing said about the scores in those films. And I actually think they're incredible. Like, at least just as good as, you know, any of the other scores we get in the other films. Especially, you know, in 2009 when it was new. You're absolutely right, Darren, when you say it was a tall order, because we had such tremendous music in the films beforehand. And man, he knocks it out of the park. It is so memorable, and he doesn't. There are of course motifs that he uses from that music, but it's wholly new. And except for the end credit sequence, which is obviously just the original theme song. That 2009, on top of everything else, that music is just so good in that film. And I like Philip. I don't think I've actually listened to the Beyond soundtrack on its own. I'm sure it's good, and right in the middle of it, I guess three quarters of it, you're gonna have some nice Beastie Boys action, so I'm not gonna complain about that, but I'm sure it's just as good as well.
Yes, Kirk agrees, it is a good selection.
I hope that'd be cool. They're not gonna do this, but I hope he I don't think we've heard any announcements regarding Discovery and theme and stuff, but bring him back for the Discovery theme. That'd be great.
That's true. No, it'd be because often the theme. Oh man, we could do a whole. We'll purposely not talk about the intro themes this time.
Oh, okay. That'd be a good.
I think that would be another good episode because they really do set the tone for, you know, what is going on in that theme. So we will. That'll be a whole nother episode. I'm sure we can talk about. I don't want to fit three topics in music into this one. But, well, going back in time, because, you know, we could go in any time order. Sometimes we go back to Mark Twain time, sometimes we don't. It's all different. But let's go
Never
back.
Again.
Let's go back to Jerry Goldsmith, the beginning. You have the motion picture, the Final Frontier, and then First Contact, Insurrection, and Nemesis, all Jerry. And he's the one who, I won't talk more about it, but he did, you know, his theme became the TNG intro theme. They just took it like from the end of the movie and popped it in the beginning of Next Gen, and it worked and it was great. And again, I won't talk about it, but these themes, I mean, you have the motion picture with that, you know, it that kind of defined that sound of Star Trek, and you get the Klingon motif out of that. You get, which we hear all the time, you know, you get First Contact with its like haunting, you know, trumpet bits. I mean, I could. First Contact is such a beautiful score. You know, Insurrection and Nemesis, you know, there's not as many pieces that jump out, but overall, it still has that Star Trek sound. And I mean, he did five of the movies on his own. Like, that's quite a bit.
I mean, we're talking decades of Star Trek. I mean, and he is the one responsible for that, you know, post TOS. Cinematic sound, it's what we think of, you know, like you just said, the entire TNG theme came out of it, and which was TOS first, of course, and then all of this other stuff that went beyond it. It's Star Trek was incredibly fortunate to have him compose and create these wonderful pieces, these iconic now, you know, up there with many of the famous theme songs, you know, in all of pop culturedom. So we really, really are fortunate that he has not only was a part of the Star Trek franchise, but a part of the Star Trek franchise for 20, I don't know, almost 30 years, I guess, probably. So,
well, and that's true. Now that I think about it, I mean, what theme, what specific note riff do you think of when you think Star Trek? I mean, for Star Wars, it's, you know, it's like the opening theme or like Luke's theme. But for Star Trek, it's really, it's from the motion picture. It's the ba 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 ba. Like, that's not TOS. That's a completely different, you know, riff than what we get in TOS, which has a lot more bongos in it. But, you know, it's, but that created.
To be fair, TOS has a lot of very distinctive music as well.
I mean, they have bicycle wheels, they have harps, they got all sorts of stuff, but yeah, but.
I think it's a liar? Just saying.
No, well, are you, no, I'm telling the truth, okay? too easy,
fake
too
music.
Easy. What are your thoughts on Jerry Goldsmith, Philip?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to add, just.
Oh, and then moving on to James Horner. No, I'm just kidding. Feel free to defend.
Yeah. No. I mean, there isn't much to add, just that. Obviously, I think one of my favorite times of that music is especially in First Contact, both at the beginning and at the beginning and the end, where you have that iconic theme song music. And it's funny because it is so next gen, but it doesn't actually appear in most of the next gen movies.
I can't quite remember that. Could you hum a few bars, Philip?
I mean, because like you think about it, Insurrection and Nemesis and Generations just has its own thing, except for the closing to Nemesis. But
right, that's true. Well, it's been a long road from there to here, but. So, and then the other, I mean, I'm not going to touch on every single composer, but most of the ones that did multiple films, but James Horner also did, he did The Wrath of Khan and The Search for Spock. So those are definitely, I mean, yes, it's kind of the trilogy with Star Trek IV, but really those two are bookended. I mean, they go right from one to the next.
But then I think IV is such, I mean, it's not him, but IV is so different though.
That's true. I mean, IV is really... Yeah, very different. I keep thinking of the elevator chase music. It's different. Very different.
But the thing about two, which is amazing, is because two, you know, widely regarded as one of the best films in the franchise, and it is, and it's partly due to that amazing, amazing, incredible score that Horner did. It's just like the tension is ratcheted up 10 times. In that movie because of the amazing music that he puts to it. And that movie is literally all about tension. And if you didn't have this kind of intense, exciting music going on, it would not be nearly as effective as you think it is.
I know. I keep thinking of like the Mataro Nebula sequence, and it's just, it's so good.
Genesis countdown.
Yeah. The Genesis is counting down, and you could honestly just sync it up with like the CD of just the music and turn off the actual sounds and voices from the movie and just listen to just that. I wish more DVDs did that. I wish I've seen some where they do some interesting things with music, but I really wish you could turn off everything but the music, and because that's just such a totally different way to view it. But I mean, you know, with I guess a proper syncing, you could with, you know, tracks that you own, but yeah,
that sounds like a lot of work.
I know. Sorry.
You could do it.
You could. It is doable. Well,
it's like the, and I've never, have you been, Darren, to where they have the live orchestra? I almost feel like that'd be distracting to watch a movie with the live orchestra. I mean, I think it'd be cool.
It's not, well, it would really be weird. When I went to the Star Trek Beyond premiere, they had a live orchestra there. And honestly, you forget. I mean, you're just hearing, you're watching on the screen and you're hearing the music and you're hearing the sound effects, but it doesn't feel like out of the left speaker is the sound effects and dialogue and the right speaker is, you know, the music in front of you. It's a little fuller because it is, you're hearing the actual instrument right in front of you, but eventually it just all blends together. It didn't really distract for me.
So how did the orchestra do Sabotage?
Oh gosh, how did they do Sabotage? I think they just played it. I think in that one they just played the track. Ooh. Okay, I don't quite remember, but I do know they also had the singer Adele, I'm gonna say, did the closing credits like ahead of time or something like that, because they didn't have her at that right time, or that was pre-recorded.
See, Philip, when you live in California, you don't really care about the different celebrities. They all run together, so...
Oh, I want to say Adele with it.
I don't know who it was.
Yeah, it was some jeez. It was some chick up there.
Someone famous. I don't even know. Don't even care. It was, you know, Tina Turner, probably.
Wow, that's... All right.
So, you know. She got a good job in the city, working 9 to 5 every night and day. But I mean, these, you know, already we've only mentioned 3 composers, and they cover probably like 80% of all of Star Trek films. So that's quite a thing.
I also think 6 is really different, and I mean, I know that's not an original thought, but both 4 and 6. And I don't know if 6. Like, you know, I'll have my various Star Trek soundtrack CDs I listen to, but 6 is I'm not sure I'm a fan of it. I think without the movie, it's sort of so different. I'm not sure I enjoy it as much as with the movie.
Oh, you mean just as if you were putting it in just to listen to? Yeah, I mean 6 is Cliff Elder. Okay, gosh, people need to spell their names. No, I'm just kidding, Cliff Edelman. Yeah, that sounds about right. So yeah, he's done, you know, what else has he done? I don't even know. Free Willy 3, The Rescue.
Nice.
Lizzie McGuire movie, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Open Window. Yeah, a lot of different things. Meteor Man, Leap of Faith. I'm probably not helping him here, but yeah, he's done a lot of stuff, but you know, I don't feel necessarily that 6 is like not Star Trek, at least when I remember it, but then again, you're coming off of Jerry Goldsmith returning in 5. So it's like, you know, it's not only with directors, it's also, you know, with composers,
which is a lesson that the music can only help so much.
Yeah. Yep.
That is true. That is true. And then to write, I guess we can round out the original cast. We have Leonard.
I think they actually should have had the B-52s do Star Trek 5, because then you could have had Rock Monster.
But then they actually were going to, but then they got cut. Womp, for budget reasons.
Oh, were they going to do it, and then they...
No. That's a joke about the Rock Monsters getting cut.
Oh, yes. I thought it was We thought it was in the public domain joke, because that happens too in Star Trek.
Yeah, she'll notice they never sing Happy Birthday, but now in Discovery, they can sing Happy Birthday as much as they want.
Well, you know, it's in the original Klingon is really where Happy Birthday came on to its full potential. But now in the TV shows, I left information on that specifically because, I mean, there were composers for it, obviously, but it's a little different where... You have a lot of motifs and sounds, and I've looked on iTunes, and a lot of times there's several CDs worth, I think like 15 or so, that have each CD has, I'd say, 5 or 6 tracks per episode from many of the first several seasons of TNG. So you can definitely hear, and I think we've talked before in other episodes about season 1 and 2 TNG has a very specific sound, I'll say, very whimsical, and
I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm not saying I don't like it, but it's, you know, I feel like I'm always staring out a window into the abyss as it passes by. Like, it's very
Jordying it.
Pretty much.
It's so 80s. It's so synthy.
Yes, it's very synthy.
So it's like, which is kind of all the rage right now with things like Stranger Things and stuff like that, but it's so computer overdone, and it's great and cheesy, and just like the episodes, frankly. So, you know, you can't get really too mad at it. It's very appropriate.
And I think it's sort of interesting where Ron Jones, who, not that he did all of it, but that he did, you know, some of that early stuff, especially, but that when you put that in Best of Both Worlds, it still works so well.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you think about it, Best of Both Worlds, that's some random music. I mean, if you really think about it, that's not, like, really suspenseful. I mean, it is, but you have this cacophony of, like, strings, and then you'll have just all these different weird things, you know, the encounter of the Borg, you know, the attacking and all this stuff. It's very big. It's very big, but it still works with something because it's a big episode, so you don't mind.
Well, and I think Star Trek, you know, in a similar way to like Star Wars, where Star Wars is very motif and person driven. Like you have, like there's Data's music that's always like do 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 do. Like it's very like, at least in the early seasons, it is like, you know, Wonder and Star Child and whatever it is. But you know, but the Borg, you know, have that eerie, you know, Picard staring out his window as he remembers it all. Yeah, ba ba ba. Ba, ba, ba. Yeah, pretty much.
But it makes sense that it has that choir sound,
yeah.
Because of course the Borg are all the voices.
Contact Admiral Hansen. Tell him we've engaged the Borg. Ba, ba, ba. Tune in next week. But yeah, so they definitely have these motifs, these sounds. I mean, you know, and I don't know, like it's not that the later seasons in TNG are bad, but I remember more of the early ones. Like the Bynars had like a sound.
Well,
and
it's because, and I'm sure we'll get into it. It's because later TNG, all of Deus Ex Nine, and specifically all of Voyager, kind of all mesh together. They all have the same exact background music. It's you know, there's always a couple of episodes that stand out that like, there's just phenomenal music work on. But generally speaking, if you're watching a random episode, you're going to get the same background.
There's the battle music, there's the running music, there's the getting away, there's the attack, there's the science, there's the wonder. It does kind of get repetitive. That's true.
Yeah. It is just, which is fine. It's actually, it's in a way comforting because it's like, you know what you're going to get. And it's like, you just... It's just a very Star Trek feel. It's like, you know, oh, I'm watching, you know, season 3 of Voyager, this random episode, and here's this. Again, I'm not dismissing all the music in all of these series here. I'm just saying there's a definite feeling and a definite kind of consistency to this music, and a lot of times it can run together. There are definite times where it stands out and it's great and it's awesome, but a good chunk of the time it just seems to be kind of filler music.
That's true.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think, if I got a Deep Space Nine or Voyager soundtrack album, what track would I be looking for?
Yeah, I'm sure.
The Heartbeat of the Prophets. Dum, 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 dum. Yeah. Well, I mean, we haven't talked about TOS yet, but TOS, I mean, that partially because it's a smaller series with fewer, you know, fewer options, but I mean, who doesn't think of Arena when you're like starting to fight? I mean, that is just it, you know, da, 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 da. I mean, it's ingrained.
Yeah, but and I think with TOS, they just telegraph their music so much that you can listen to music and be like, oh, that's from
it's very placeable,
or that's from, you know, Amok Time. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and they have the, you know. And they do reuse bits and pieces. I mean, there's the shock where it's like, da-da! Like, the red shirt touched the thing and he vaporized. Like, that's in 8 episodes, that specific music cue. It's like, okay, guys, we're playing. And then he's about to touch the thing. And then, da-da! You know, okay, we're good. On to the next thing. But...
No, it's very bombastic and fun and over the
which
top.
It was like, look at us in color, we're bright, you know, the primary colors, and look at our music.
But some of it is really, really good. And then, like Philip said, there's definitely like, there are times they definitely reuse it. I mean, they reuse almost every single piece, I would imagine. But like, it's so, the different pieces are so distinctive and unique and fun. It just adds to the color and the craziness that's TOS.
And even like the comedic stuff, it's like, The punchline.
Oh, Scotty. Laugh track. Pause. Freeze frame.
Do, 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 do.
Brought to you by Desilu. Yeah, pretty much. It's that's yeah. We all know what we're talking about. Well, and if we want to talk about repeated music, Star Trek the Animated Series, I'm looking at you. Yeah. Duh. Yeah, oh my gosh, I heard it so many times. But I mean, it's not, again, it's not bad. It's just, and I totally get it. I'm expecting every episode of Discovery to have a unique composed symphony. You know, no, of course you reuse pieces. Of course you have.
I am, and if they don't have it, I'll hate it.
Philip. But, you know, so no. But overall, I think we're fairly fortunate that, you know, not only do we have a franchise that has really good effects, really good budget, but also really good music. I mean, overall, you know, it's, I think that's very fortunate. I mean, there are some that are good and some that are less than good, but I mean, who can't hear a Klingon motif and they know instantly, like they feel that race. It's just, oh, it's so good. You know, whether they have foreheads or not, doesn't even matter. But, you know, which.
Well, and I think, you know, Star Trek fans help keep La La Land Records in business. I mean, there's obviously a lot of
that's
good
true.
There.
That's true. But, okay, well, now we're going to transition into the second part of our episode as we talk about.
Is this
it
the
is,
second movement?
It is. I don't know many musical terms, but sure, it's the second movement. We'll go with that. So we're going to talk about instruments that are played by our characters. So,
Sniff man putting my mind in jail, and the judge bangs his gavel, and he says no bail. Gonna sniff his hand and wag my tail. Herbert, Herbert, Herbert. Did you mean like that?
Data, what just happened? I...
I didn't recognize it until the end.
I have no idea what's going on.
That's from the original series, This Way to Eden.
It's the hippies.
Oh, the hippie one. Mm, yes.
Yeah. Until he said Herbert, I didn't not recognize. I have not seen that episode in the time.
That's because, you know, the bicycle wheel didn't quite come through, but it was close. So.
Oh, that episode. that episode, man. We could do a whole episode about that episode and how much of a train wreck it is.
Anyway, it's great. We've already generated several future episodes just by talking.
So. I know. No, because well, I would not want to watch that episode again.
It's that whole thing we've always heard where, like, an Enterprise, the certain suits wanted to have, like, different bands on the NX-01 each week. But that's what they did on the original series. They had hippie bands.
Yeah.
When they weren't hosting traveling Shakespeare companies, they were hosting hippie bands.
That's true. Well, okay, but instruments, let's start with Spock playing the Vulcan lyre. I mean, even though he always tells the truth, that's apparently what they call the instrument. So we'll call it the Vulcan Truther. And as he plays that...
Don't call it that.
Well, I'm sorry, Daniel. I can't change canon now. It's in place.
No, it's an alternate instrument.
Jet fuel can't melt transparent steel.
Oh, wow. I don't know about that. That's in a whole new direction.
Truth
or okay,
stuff.
His lyre.
Anyways, keep going.
The roof is the ceiling.
His lyre. But no, I mean, he doesn't sing. At least I don't believe he does. But, you know, but Uhura sings and...
I believe Spock sings Have You Not Seen Play of Stepchildren.
Okay. I was going to say,
remember,
he definitely
TOS
does
is the
sing.
One I've Lovely seen the least, dress. So I forget parts of it. So that's why there's three of us. Yeah. So yeah, Spock sings.
I mean, he sings the song about the Hobbit. I mean, come on.
It was weird. He had a different haircut that time, but maybe it was like the cage or something. I'm not sure.
Was he smiling and he had a turtleneck on?
And he in some random forest. Oh, man. I guess he was in the Shire. I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
So, yes, I mean, we have Spock. We have, you know, Uhura sings, Chekhov dances.
Twice.
Jumps a
Uhura
lot.
Sings
yeah,
twice.
She does.
Fan dance.
That's true. I wasn't going to think of the fan dance, but that is true. But you know, also we have Data with his violin, which is always interesting.
Elementary, my dear Darren.
In the hands of some. An instrument, a violin is simply photons and force fields, but in the hands of Mr. Data, I mean Holmes, computer, delete that log, start again. But I'm trying to think if there were many others that we saw with the violin.
Picard played a flute.
Okay, gosh. If everyone wants to talk about the flute.
Well, Picard didn't play the flute. I mean, he did.
Don't take that away from him, okay? Just because he got Matrix programmed.
He picked it up in an afternoon.
Yeah.
So, I mean. it's like Groundhog's Day. It's my first lesson. Name? Jean-Luc Picard. Captain.
No, the character that he stole the flute knowledge from.
Stole. That's a pretty.
The one who's harsh. The one whose wife he stole.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Gosh, I'm blanking on the episode title.
But you had Riker with the trombone. You had Troy with the spoons. I mean, she may have been eating a sundae, but she still used the spoons.
That is true. He wakes up as Kamen, a resident of the planet Catan.
Like settlers of Catan?
K-A-T-A-N. So, yes.
That is literally.
They were not trading.
It's Klingon Catan. That's one of the.
How many sheep and bricks did he have to
how
use?
How many
to make that
barrels
flute?
Of sun protector will you trade me for one solar probe?
Man.
But yeah, there's that. I mean, we have, like you said, Riker with his trombone, permanently installed for the few brief moments he's captain of the Enterprise. I'm assuming.
Picard also sings.
Well, Alt Picard sings.
And Gilbert and Sullivan.
Oh, true.
Oh, yes.
He does
sings
sing
twice
Gilbert
as well.
And Sullivan. I mean, I haven't met them personally yet, but he does sing.
Well, you haven't had the chance. They're new.
But there's that. There's Q plays the trumpet. I mean, a lot of people forget that Q plays the trumpet when he is he's in a mariachi band. That's, you know.
That's for Taco Tuesdays on the Enterprise, dude.
And then, although Geordi, I guess you could say he plays a lute? The little guitar in Cupid? I mean, he plays it for a moment, and then Worf smashes it against a tree, so he didn't really get a chance.
Sorry.
No, he wasn't sorry. Not in the least. But he wasn't a merry man. It's just, you know, he's a little grumpy that day. But
I like that. In order to be the Enterprise, you had to major in your specialty, and everyone had to minor
in
music.
Yes, obviously. I mean, it's... Or painting. Painting or music. I mean, Picard obviously did the music and not the painting. I mean, Data let him know that.
It was a liberal arts flagship.
We've talked about this before, guys. It makes a lot of sense in the 24th century that everybody has some sort of artistic...
Except the captain.
...experience.
Well, then what about DS9 and Voyager?
Well, we can talk about that.
We know Miles was forced to play the cello, I think, by his father. I don't know if we actually ever see him play it.
He almost went pro.
Yeah, you know, anyone can almost go pro. Miles, I'm not quite sure if that's an excuse.
But he was in the cellist Olympics. He wanted to maintain the amateur status.
You know, look, he mistook that eighth note for a 16th note in the finals. So he's got a story just like Juliet, okay?
So he's cello Victorian, is what you're saying?
Episode title! I was going to go with Make Mine Music, but cello... How do you even spell that? Cello Victorian.
Good luck. It's a new word, so you can pick. It's like when you find a new star, you get to pick the name. It's a new word. You can just pick how it's spelled.
So, cello B546. Okay, got it. He plays the cello. I mean, now Julian's got to have an instrument. I mean, with that genetic engineering.
No. I don't think anyone else on DS9 plays anything except one of Jadzia's murder hosts.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the other hosts are murder hosts, Philip. You got to be more specific.
Well, there is only one murder host. So to be fair, that is pretty specific. If we include...
That we know of.
That's true. If we include... help me out. The singer, you know.
Oh, Vic Fontaine.
Vic Fontaine, yes. If we include him.
Do we have to include Vic Fontaine? I guess we can. No. If he plays the piano, that's true.
That's insane.
In the alternate Mare universe, he's on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's which so that totally no makes sense whatsoever.
Which we don't even need to talk about.
Well, I will say that Odo plays the piano in
oh yes.
So he, I don't know how he learned, but you know, he's changeling. He's, I'm sure he could do a lot of things we don't even know. So.
Well, he could. He
now,
could...
this is an interesting concept, Daniel. I wonder what you think. If he's a changeling, and he is, it's not an F-win, can he change the synapses in his brain so he would know how to do it?
He doesn't have a brain, so he doesn't need to do that.
But he could.
I mean,
no, I get what you're saying.
He could, like, if everything is matter, and that's arguable.
Look, okay.
But if it is.
For the man who can't define ears 100%, you're saying he can define neurons 100% for.
Well, to be fair, he already has to if he's already changing into different creatures. By the way, remember, human faces are the only ones they have problems with. I was actually just watching an episode the other day, which really upset me, because they specifically mentioned this. And I'm like, he's like, I can't do a human face. I'm like, but you can be a bear or an eagle. You can be a worm or a chair. What is the difference fundamentally with a human face that you can do? Does
Maybe
that mean you
can
do a Vulcan
but
face
it gets
or a
really
Ferengi
uncanny
face?
Or, valley
well,
and
can't...
everyone freaks out.
One thing I find weird, shouldn't he have some, like, nose business going on? Because isn't he trying to be Bajoran?
There's no reason that he cannot do a face. Other than, well, we want to put him in makeup, I guess. To show that he's alien. Yeah. That's it. I mean, that's specifically it. And there's no reason that every...
Because, all the other changelings.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know why.
Because, like, the lady changeling is, like, a master changeling.
Yes, and they can be regular people. Unlike Odo, so why would they not?
Look, quit bashing on Odo, okay? He tries really hard to do his job. Yeah, it's like when I watched Past Tense or Future Tense or one of those tense, where like they're going back in time to try to rescue Bashir and Sisko, but they don't send Odo. And I'm like, of all the people that would be useful in the past when you don't know what's going on, how about Odo? But, you know, I guess that'd be more...
He could be a dog like he was in Area 51.
There you go. Yeah, that's well. Doctor's got you beat there, Odo, as super spy. He's better. So, but
speaking of,
yes, we have the doctor.
No, I would think, you know, because I was trying to think what episode would you want. Our Man Bashir, that would be a good soundtrack.
That would be a good one. Mm-hmm. Cool. Lots of homages there.
So Dr. Bashir, or actually, no, we were talking about the doctor. So he sings, obviously, but also plays the piano, you know, which he, I'm sure, just downloaded that subroutine, which a little bit cheating, but, you know, we'll let it go. But yeah, the operatic, I mean, obviously that's...
I mean, it's no difference in Data, right?
True, but Data seemed like he tried to create a style, like merging different people, as opposed to just... downloading the Grey's Anatomy of piano. I'm not sure what that's called, but
I see. I would have used the Matrix reference. I can play piano now.
I know Kung Fu.
I know C4. I mean, wait, no, different. Double thing. But yeah, but I mean,
I don't know. I just, it's not different to me. I mean, essentially they're two sides of the same coin. But
there's
whatever.
Money
that's
in the
21st
century,
subject.
Daniel. How many times I got to tell you that?
You can still use coins.
When
how
did
you
last
to...
see a coin?
How are you...
Really?
Listen, how are
how
you...
How do you determine
blood
chance?
Blood dagger, obviously. Chance. That's how we make all our decisions.
Blood dagger? Does that mean like you flip it in the air and see who it stabs and then
yes.
That's how you know? I don't know what blood...
It always lands on its point. This is a weighted dagger.
It's 3 points, Philip. It's like a cow trip. But yes.
Well, it's only 3 points when you press the button. If you're not pressing the button, it's just the one.
Well, no, that's what you use in role-playing, because it counts as a 3D.
Yes, a D3. Yes. Anyway. So, but yeah, so he sings, which, I mean, obviously is because Robert Picardo sings, and...
Right.
Then we have
Ensign
composing Kim.
Ballads of the Deep.
Guys, did you know Ensign Kim plays the clarinet?
I did. I feel like they played the entire track in that episode. I don't actually think they did, but it feels like they did, like the entire song, like without cutting away.
And now Chakotay himself doesn't play a flute, but he's surrounded by people
in the walls.
Yep, in the they just hang out.
Oh, he said a quarters. He said the co-worker.
Oh, it's his neighbors.
Okay, guys, 1, 2, 3.
he just sits He literally rooms next to a bunch of pan fluters that are just like waiting for him to get home from work.
it's not sad if it's
wait till
not
you hear him
true.
Light the candles. That's actually funny.
Yeah. I mean, he can't turn into a bird, but he's got his own backup choir, apparently. So.
Well, he turns into something. What was his
I don't
spirit
think he
animal?
Told us. Like, that's the point.
Yeah, well, you don't turn into that.
Well, whatever.
You get really convoluted with your fake Native American tribe here. But
oh, don't you understand? I'm Native North American-ish.
Yes. Slash alien, apparently.
Except the people were South American, but anyway.
Oh, were they South American?
Well, weren't that... Or Central American, because they were traveling through the jungle. Remember when it
was
his dad?
I thought that was on a different planet. Weren't they on a different planet at that point?
No, they were on Earth.
I don't know.
The rubber tree people.
Yeah, who knows? All right. I mean, for that, we'd have to rewatch that episode, and I'm just not willing to do that.
Yes. Tattoo.
Now I know the episode title. Gosh, thanks, Philip. But, okay. Well, are there any other standing out instruments?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Voyager. I mean, Janeway doesn't play anything. Or does she like have like a bunch of coffee
and
cups
works
that
with
have
Da Vinci.
Different amounts of coffee, and then she like does the circle,
the Harry
circle
Potter
around
theme.
The glass.
Yes, for
that
talent,
was for talent night.
Tom Paris, you know, he likes, I'm sure, really old 21st century.
Some 20th century instrument, like the
kazoo.
The kazoo.
At the height of its popularity, this was the instrument, Delana. Yeah. Keep telling yourself that. So, all right. Well, guys, we have a little bit extra time, so I say.
Wait. We didn't talk about Trip and his harmonica.
We literally skipped an entire series.
Okay.
Just then,
what else from Enterprise? I mean, water polo is not a musical sport. Okay. And I don't think Phlox sings. He might sing a little bit.
I feel like he sings to himself. Like when in the episode where he was all alone, I think he started singing because he was going crazy.
Yeah, I could see that.
Trip and his harmonica.
I'll make a note. There. I made a note.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't
there's really
remember.
Not.
I think Next Gen was like peak music ability.
I don't know.
That was
I
back when they were
more
artists and poets and musicians.
It was artists and poets and scientists. He's probably between TOS and TNG, honestly, because a lot of the TOS people get
That's
in on
true.
That as well.
That's true. So, all right, guys. Well, we have a little extra time, so I thought, why not finish off with that topic I said we'd do later? But let's just do it right now. So we're going to go through, or if you guys still think it's a good idea, going through the intros. Or do you guys want to hold that off to another?
That's true, if we go in our order.
Oh, I didn't think about that. So yes, we have the Star Trek with an actual song at the beginning with Enterprise.
No. Darren, I'm going to correct you. That is not Star Trek. You're thinking Enterprise
is
an actual song.
You're not
Star
making
Trek
a better
Enterprise
case.
Had a different thing.
So we have the It's Been a Long Road. What was the name of the song? Faith of the Heart, yes. I mean...
Faith of the Heart.
Rod Stewart. Okay, it's... Okay.
It's not Rod Stewart.
Fine. Russell Watson.
It's Russell Watson.
But it was written by Rod Stewart?
It wasn't originally
a
Russell
Stewart. That's what I thought. That's what
Rod Stewart.
I was half
that
song. So, okay, I mean...
nothing. Okay, so do you remember when Enterprise was coming out? And their tagline was not your dad's Star Trek. And they put, not only did they put a Rod Stewart song as the intro, they put an imitation Rod Stewart song as the intro. Nothing screams more dad than Rod Stewart.
Well, no, that's actually true because my dad's Star Trek was the original series.
Well, they took it from the end of Patch Adams, I'm pretty sure, and just stuck it in the beginning of, it's... And then at least they... I mean, it's not terrible. It's not
I like
absolutely
it.
Terrible.
It's kind of terrible.
But not 100% terrible.
No, I like it. I like it. I like it with the montage.
The montage is good.
The montage is good.
It talks about, you know, getting from there to here. You're literally getting from there to here. I like it. Now, I don't like Star Trek Enterprise of...
Oh, you're talking about the secondary one?
I don't know why we're so happy. We're fine. Yes, the jazzy, yeah. Let's go fight this indie war.
I will say that every time they remix the theme song, I don't like it. I don't like it when they do it in Deep Space Nine and they add the drums either.
Wait, guys, whoa, disagree. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay. Circle gets the square.
But what you're forgetting, we also have the In a Mirror Darkly alternate, which is an awesome intro where it like turns dark as the colors invert, and then it's like that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like kind of like Predator almost. I mean, I just love that whole premise of we change the intro for the Mirror Universe, and it's just buckle up, here we go.
Yes, that was cool. That was very cool.
What if Trials and Tribulations had more of a TOS?
Like the comet's coming by, and there's like it's a tribble instead of a comet, it's floating through.
Yeah, but the comet's going ten times as fast.
I would love that.
And every ship that's going around Deep Space Nine is a tribble for no reason. And it's K7. Dude, they could have done that. Like the shots are all K7 instead of DS9.
Well, they could have done the whole docking sequence with the Defiant at K7 and stuff. That would have been
cool.
Because
if I'm remembering in that episode... No, but I remember in that episode, it's right when they realize it's the Enterprise that it cuts to the intro. So they're already back in time. I mean, they're telling it after the fact, but they could. I don't think they would have done that, but.
I mean, yes, they could. I don't know. It feels weird to be like, no, they didn't go
they
far
did.
Enough with
they did.
Trials and Tribulations. Like, no, you know, they definitely.
Man, if only they had tried.
It's like they definitely put enough effort into it. I'm not going to knock them.
They already rebuilt K7. It would have been nice. They might as well shoot an intro with it. I mean, come on. Or that would actually be better. Like, all the visuals are like TOS K7, but it's got the bombastic, super serious DS9 music.
I'm trying to think too, like, or if they could like do the credits with like the Defiant whizzing past instead of the Enterprise.
No, they should have done. Did they not do the? They should have done the end credits
with
in TOS
the freeze
style,
frames.
Deep Space Nine.
Oh,
pictures.
That would have been great.
That would have been actually really good.
That's like a middle ground. That would have been good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because we don't have to go in order, and we've already talked about it. Deep Space Nine. So we have yes. Trumpet bombasticness? No trumpet bombasticness. Like, I'm trying to remember the drums. That's right.
No,
drums.
It's the drums. Yeah. It's the drums that they add. Yeah.
Yeah. No, because I think to me the first version
it is
just so
really
slow
and
boring. I mean, it's look. I mean, hold on. As a piece of music, it is good. It is well, but as an intro, like, I'm not gonna watch that every episode. It's so slow,
especially
and boring,
coming after TNG.
And,
to be
know,
fair, you don't watch any of them. You do not watch any of them every episode.
It's true. But even, not only did they change the music, or, you know, well, the beat, anyway, but they also added more stuff. So, like, the first three seasons was like, there's a space station, there's more of a space station, look, it's a space, whereas later they have things docking, there's guys floating, you're like, well, this is interesting,
stuff.
I can look at things.
Yes, visually it does get more interesting. Audibly, it gets more confused and muddled, and I don't like it. I like the kind of I mean, I get why they did it tonally. The show was changing, but I still prefer the first version much, much more than the later one. Because I don't know. I know it's not supposed to fit really, and it doesn't, and it bothers me, and I don't like it. And I'm like, I just want to listen to my nice little song.
So should they have used and said like, "Whoa, huh? What is it good for?
Yeah.
We're gonna go against the Dominion, something. I don't know. No, that's I'm good. I'm good.
Keep going.
But
Jim, hit dog.
Need the Kepler cell, or they will die. Don't do drugs, kid.
Don't do drugs, kids.
It'll be an ethical quandary for the doctor.
Little did we know that the Ketracil White was just a
it was a dare
late
it's
stage
a dare,
dare
campaign. Oh
campaign.
Man, jeez!
Dare to keep your gem in our
home. Cues at the very end. He's like, with drugs.
Now I can see it like a year later. Like the local news report is like, teenagers across the country are now trying something called White.
News at 11.
We have more.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's the comment right there, going by the Deep Space Nine.
Exactly, it's the same comment.
Or treble.
Okay,
Oh man! If only marketing no, synergy no, existed in the late '90s, terrible. We wouldn't have
all these ideas.
This.
Are terrible. all right. Well, let.
Well, like technically, was it different? It was different music for TNG. I mean, it's different visuals for TNG opening, but it was
from
it
the
slightly different.
Picture? Slight or your
slight. It
no, no, no,
no.
Next
yeah.
Generation.
It does change slightly. I think between seasons 3 and 4. If I'm remembering correctly,
yeah.
It does change
yeah.
very slightly. Not as significant of a change that happens between.
But again, the intro
DC9.
Was pretty much the exact thing we saw in TOS, just with the Enterprise D, like from it flying across.
Well, there was less
true
arias in it.
We didn't see any planets either in right. the TOS.
But the whole
the
like
whole,
show
the
a
whole
title,
beginning sequence,
it
we don't
flies by, shows a title.
Yes.
The yeah, Enterprise yeah. D wasn't tilted at a yes. 45 degree angle zooming through.
Yeah, that's always weird, isn't it? Why did they do that? I wonder why I they did that.
The model was 8 feet long. What else are you going to do with it?
I saw the model.
It's saucer heavy.
And everybody should visit the model. It's at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum. It's fantastic. It's really cool. Only view it from the front, the other side.
Well, yeah, you see the
much
wires.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
I won't yeah. go there. The other side's a little disappointing. Don't go on the other side.
So, but yeah, but I mean, TNG. now, you know, we've talked a bit about, like, tone. What did you guys feel like with the tone of TNG? Like, it's very, like, I mean, obviously, when they heard it from the end of, you know, the movie, they're like, okay, that's what we're using, because it's just such a great piece, you know, to use. And I think it fits well that it's very, it's big. It's like, this ship is bigger, and we're going to put some big music behind it.
Yeah, I mean, if the TOS Enterprise was a baseball, and you put it on a baseball field, and the Enterprise D represented the sun in a volleyball. Nah, I forget how the size is.
Wow, that was a little convoluted there. I didn't know. I couldn't even follow that. And I know
well, what like, I'm asking is, do you feel that TNG theme fits and properly prepares you when you're watching an episode?
It gets me pumped every time yeah. I hear it, but mostly because I love the show. So I mean,
like how it's like the Hawaii 50.
It is. It's
of Star Trek.
Here comes Star Trek Next Generation. It's going to be a good episode this time.
I couldn't tell you the Hawaii 50. I've never. That's not helping.
Yes.
Should I go watch?
See, wait,
should I go
no,
watch the new
watch
movie?
The
is that what you're telling
show,
me to
what
do?
About.
Why would
no,
I watch
I,
an old?
I think the
show?
Music, the theme music that would pump me up the most would be Darkwing Duck.
Oh, nice! Oh, ding, oh! Ding, ding, although ding, the DuckTales theme song,
not too
as
bad.
Sung by the
not
new cast
bad,
just
yeah.
recently,
was,
was. Also
it was.
Oh, wait. Very fantastic.
Back to Star Trek,
yeah.
the thing we talked about.
Well, but it's interesting. So then, Voyager is the only theme song that's never been touched of the whole series.
Well, no, because TOS doesn't change either. Right?
I suppose that's true. Though they did change credits.
Change added credits.
Yeah, they changed the. I mean. I assume, you know, most of the time here.
Well, they changed
about
the color too. It was orange, and mm-hmm. then it was blue, mm-hmm. and then they.
Good job.
And they added McCoy.
But yeah, but well, okay. So TOS, that's you know, that's the beginning. It's like I said, it's that. I mean, it is Star Trek, but it's not necessarily the first sound I think of when I think of the theme of Star Trek. You know, that's the theme of TOS. Where, but you know,
yeah,
got demoted.
Yeah, it's. It's good. It's good stuff for sure. And I really like we mentioned before, I like the new version that
oh,
they
yeah.
made for
09. The last track
really cool.
where it transitions from the yeah, it's very pumped. No, a little louder. It's like bop 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 bop.
So good. Oh, I love that soundtrack so much. Anyways, so that yeah, but it's you know, it's very different feel from the rest of them, because the rest of them, except for Enterprise that we've already mentioned, are all orchestral.
Well, and of course, there's no voiceover in DS9 or Voyager, which I don't know. I think they could have had.
There's only voiceovers for TOS and TNG. I mean, there's less Star Trek series with
voiceovers.
Sort
of thinking, I'm trying to think of, like, at first I was thinking of music.
Will Discovery
like,
have a
singing
voiceover?
In the TNG intro? What are you talking about? Then I realized what you meant, the whole, these are the... Well, then again, because remember, TNG is it's the next one. We've never done this a second time, so it's very copying, you know, TOS, obviously. But
do we want a voiceover in the Discovery?
Oh, wait.
And then who would do the voiceover?
Intro. And what would they say?
The captain, okay, so, all right, that's a great quick question. So here's a thought I have. I kind of feel it might be time for... This is what I'm thinking of for Discovery. I think it might be...
Like, it's going to be like Lost. No. It's just going to say Discovery.
It'll be two ships crashing and then Discovery comes out of the middle. I think it might be time for a Star Trek intro title to evolve to helping get you into the episode. So I'm thinking more of two other types of series. One is Stargate SG-1, which had the montage, you know, intro, kind of like Babylon 5 or things like that, you know, where you're pumped, you got the exciting music. Gosh, you want to talk about boring intro? Man, the first Stargate is just like panning around a sarcophagus for like a minute and a half. It's really, really boring. But then they really punched it up later. But there's that. And then I believe it was, I want to say it was Stargate Universe. It's either Stargate Universe or another show. I can't quite remember exactly, but basically what they did is the intro to each episode was kind of a little bit of it's Chuck, that's what I'm thinking of, Chuck. So the intro,
similar lines,
right? Sure. Oh, that's Cake, but, long short skirt, long jacket. Also, yeah, that's a great song, Chuck, by the way.
But there was also a little tiny bit at the beginning of the episode that kind of reintroduced the specific characters you would need to know in that episode. So that's what I'm kind of getting at is I'd like the intro to have good music and feels like Star Trek, but I also feel it might need to ease us into the particulars of that episode or maybe show a little bit of what happened before or something like that.
I see with BSG, as you were saying. But yeah, well, you know what? I think the obvious model, I think is Arrested Development. is the story of my crew as we go in Discovery. It's like the captain, the number one.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
And this is Star Trek Discovery.
At the end of every episode, they show a clip from the next episode that's actually not in the next episode. That would be awesome.
Next week on Star Trek Discovery.
Or The Office, you know.
You know what just came into my head? Oh, there you go. I can get into that. But you know what just came into my head that's I'm sure not what they're doing, but could be cool? Like, if they swap on and off Discovery and Klingon episodes, they could have different titles for the Discovery ones. And then
that would be cool. So started out the same, but then it shifts. So you're like, oh, this one's going to be about Klingons. Or, oh, this one's going to be... I know exactly what they're going to do. So, normal intro... And then the first part is going to be about, you know, the Federation, and it's going to be normal. And then the Federation logo is going to come out at the center of the screen, and it's going to flip and turn into the, and it'll be like, da, 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 da. It'll turn into the Klingon logo, just like Transformers. And that's how we're going to shift between Federation.
Yes.
That's the only way I will accept Star Trek Discovery.
Meanwhile, at the Klingon Great Hall.
Meanwhile, on unnamed Klingon planet, since we don't know what it is yet. Now,
but yeah. So, let's see. Do we get them all? Voyager, Discovery. Well, we do Voyager. We haven't really touched on Voyager. I mean, very trumpets, very beautiful, very bum bum bum. Got the timpanis going. That's for sure. It's a pretty.
It's very
piece.
Pretty. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like I mean it I enjoy it. I'm not going to say I don't, but like Deep Space Nine, you know.
Which is interesting it gets how a little repetitive. That's repetitive yet TNG, which is literally like watching the SIP and space, like almost nothing doesn't feel repetitive.
Well, it's more ADHD cuz it's like whoosh 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 whoosh, whereas Voyager's like
it's slower. It's a slower pace, that's for sure. Taking our time as the Voyager goes sailing. Will it make it home now? It won't make it in the first season. Will 7 of 9 help our ratings go up? I actually got pretty far in that one. Okay, I'm done. I think
now it's interesting. So every series except Enterprise has the same end theme, but Enterprise does not.
The only one has a different end. TOS has a different end theme.
No, it's still
Oh yeah,
Archer's
we're watching the screensaver flying through space. It's really boring.
But it kind of reminds me of like watching West Wing. You know, you'll have a closing dramatic moment in the episode.
Well,
it'll go into the end title music, which is actually was the beginning. Beginning titles for the beginning music for the pilot.
How did DS9 do the credits? I'm trying to remember. Was it literally? Yeah, it's true. Maybe just because it didn't start the same. Like it doesn't start with the take four.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. It goes right into the actual part of it there.
Here comes a note. Another note at a space station. Did we mention the station's really big? That's what I hear. This is fun. I like turning the intros into actual songs that talk about what we're seeing.
In fact, there is a very funny YouTube channel where the guy takes famous orchestral sounds and puts lyrics to them. You look them up. I don't remember the name. Maybe I'll try to find it. Does it for most of the Star Treks, I believe, as well. And it's very funny.
I don't know. My Voyager one I just came up with, that was pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm highly biased, but... Well, gentlemen, it's been a long road from there to here over this past hour as we've talked about the composers from the films, the background music from the TV shows, the instruments played from the crew, and finally, all of the intros. It has been a journey, a bit haphazard at times, but a lot of fun. So, Daniel, what are we going to be talking about in a much more, I'm sure, succinct fashion next week?
You know, this is a perfect time to talk about this. We've just recently been given the news that Mr. Jason Isaacs, also more commonly known as Lucius Malfoy, will be playing our Discovery captain, our captain of the Discovery in the new show. Guys, we're going to talk about the captains.
Ooh.
Not the actual documentary, The Captains, although we could
talk. Although I think we should.
We should at some point talk about that.
I'll get my piano ready.
And clearly we could definitely have an episode about each of the individual captains. But much like we've been doing, we're going to talk about the role of the captain and what each actor and character brought to that role. It's going to be really interesting because obviously, being the main characters, the captains are going to draw either some very positive and in some cases maybe very negative feelings. So it'll be a neat talk, I think, and we can even speculate on what's going to come in the future, I think.
That's true. This has been a good series of we talk about something and then speculate on Discovery. No, I mean, we got another 3 years until it comes out, and then we'll finally
We're fine. Yeah, we've got lots of time.
We got a lot of time, so.
It's only been delayed 7 or 8 times.
Look, a time traveler hasn't come back and warned us yet, so how bad could it really be, you know?
Yeah, but it's only because the Vulcans are holding us back. Gosh. I think we need to...
They very well may be.
Honestly, if CBS released like a fake press release about the Vulcans holding them back, I would actually be okay with that because it would be so on point with the fandom.
Ah, Vulcans on point.
That's fandom. A little racist, Darren.
That's not what I meant. Gosh. But you know.
No. You're absolutely right.
Would be like, bravo for recognizing your fan base would get that because that would actually be hilarious.
CBS clearly does not.
No, I don't. They would never
have the marketing ability wherewithal to do that.
So. Any marketing it's ability. Like, what's no. Yeah.
It's like Data without the emotion chip.
Or LOL trying to catch a ball. No ball LOL for you, CBS. Well, Daniel, where could someone find you if they wanted to talk to you about music or instruments or hippie bands? Where would they find you?
Hippie bands. That's a good question. Well, you could find me on Twitter. My handle there is 1UpDan. That is the number one, not the word, as in... God, I don't even know. I am not a number one fan of hippies, so maybe that's not the best place to find me.
And Philip, if someone wanted to talk to you about your favorite composer, be it Star Trek 6 or Star Trek 6, where would they find you?
I like 5-1 better. They can find me on Twitter, where my handle is NC Public Servant.
And if someone wanted to talk to me about my new CD coming out, Darren Sings the Intros to Star Trek series, they could find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi. That's just such a fun idea. DRSCIFI. And again, all of our previous episodes of City Alpha 3, as well as many other great shows, can be found on the Nerd Party Art Network. Visit thenerdparty.com for Star Trek, Star Wars, talking just all those nerdy things. It's really a great place, and we're all very fortunate to belong to such a great group of podcasters. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here, listening to Darren sing on City Alpha 3.